Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Welcome to the Signs of Life radio show for February 8, 2017. I am your guest, Roman Karpyshka, and today's topic will be signs from your loved one. I have a wonderful medium here as a guest. Her name is Angelina Diana. Just quick format about the show. This portion of the show, once a month, we do what's called it's called Medium Insights. What I do is I interview an elite group of Forever Family Foundation certified mediums on a variety of topics, and they'll answer questions to most of us who seek the answers to. Tonight's guest, Angelina Diana, if you'd like to call in, you can speak to her. Your questions are welcome. However, bear in mind, tonight's show is not a forum for, it's not a reading show, okay? It's a forum to discuss our topic, signs from your loved ones. So Angelina will not be conducting any readings, okay? A little bit about Angelina. She's motivated to work towards the greater good of the world and is dedicated to the work of healing through mediumship. Her grandmother was not secretive about her intuitiveness and regularly engaged in the use of open tarot cards. But Angelina, she didn't pay too much attention to the practices. While working as a radio newscaster on an assignment and exploring the legitimacy of psychic mediums, she discovered her own heritage. Fight it as she did, she was being brought down a pathway that would force her to leave her journalistic career behind and replace it with something that she had a hard time explaining at first. Ever since then, Angelina has enjoyed a very successful career in mediumship work. She was the original medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation, sits on its medium advisory board, and was instrumental in helping to create and host this particular show, the Signs of Life radio show. She's participated in scientific medium research and remains very interested in the mechanism that makes mediumship possible. She also does volunteer work at the Forever Family Foundation and many other worthy causes. She's based in Connecticut and does private and group readings. She can be heard on the radio on Connecticut's KISS 95.7 with Courtney and Kiss in the Morning Show. And her website is www.angelinadiana.com. It's spelled exactly as it's pronounced. Welcome to the show, Angelina.
Thank you, Roman. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much. Great to have you here.
So thank you.
We wanted to kind of talk about, you know, signs from your loved ones, the topic of tonight's conversation. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that right away pops into my head is that, you know, for you as a medium, I mean, you're a human being. You've gone through grief as well, just like the rest of us. Do you get signs from your loved ones the same way that the rest of us do, like our non-mediums do?
I sure do, and I think because we're all born with a brain, and the brain needs to grieve, it's a physiological response to things, I get blocks and question just as much as the non-professional mediums do, because I think that's a part of grief, is the doubt. The mind has a incredible way of not seeing the truth. I think that we spend a lot of time, if you think about it, our feelings, our emotions, half of what we feel and we emote is not based on the truth, because it's built with doubt, among other things. So I, too, on occasion, longing to hear from my mom, my mind will go into a funk of doubt. But what has helped me through it is the honoring of reading other folks and getting the validation and the evidence, and it's helped me on a personal level to receive not only signs, because I believe there's a difference between signs and messages. Not only do I receive signs, but I also receive messages from my loved ones.
Fantastic. That's a very, very good answer to a very general question, and I'm glad that you answered it that way, because it actually brings, you've just mentioned something about a difference between signs and messages. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by that?
Well, I do believe that our loved ones can send us signs. And, pardon me, a typical sign would be those metaphysical ones we hear, like a song on the radio, a feather, a butterfly, a coin. I mean, these are very historically known, and I believe can be validating signs. Do I believe every penny that a loved one picks up, thinking or feeling that it's their loved one, is their loved one? Maybe not, because I believe what a message does compared to a sign is a message is just that. Like if I was to say something to you, Roman, mm-hmm. you would give me an answer or a message back. So it's a conversation, it's a two-way communication, and to have a message, you need to start a conversation, right? So I often find that signs are born out of, even though you can get signs, you can get the penny, the song on the radio, those type of imagery things that are so metaphysical, you can receive, but it isn't really a message. It's just maybe a quick hello, or sometimes it's wishful thinking, and hopefully we'll be able to go over that, the difference between that. But a message to me is I've started a conversation with my loved one. I have a knowing, not a thought, because your emotions are connected to your thoughts. I have a knowing inside that we were once connected, and we still are connected. So I'm going to start a conversation today. I'm going to begin a journey of being what I call a personal medium, going inside and talking to them, and then sitting quietly and receiving from them a message, and then forming that personalized message into what can become a complex sign out in the physical world. So it's driven by a message. It's message-oriented. So it won't just be that penny that happens over and over again. I mean, just to give you an example, Roman, I had, and I'm not knocking little signs like this, but I had a woman come up to me at a seminar I was doing up in Massachusetts, and she had, I would say, a gallon jar full of pennies, and she came up to me and said, "Look what my grandmother has sent me." And I'm like, "Wow, that's a lot of pennies." She goes, "Yeah." And I said, "That's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. But what do you think she's trying to tell you?" And she kind of looked down. She goes, "You know what? I don't know." And I said, "Wouldn't you like to know?" You know, because after a while, the penny, I swear the other side is going, "Okay, I'd like to talk to you about your graduation, but here's another penny." You know, it's like, right. I really think they do placate us with the simplicity of what they can send us, but I do believe part of a medium's job is to help the griever understand that they can start a conversation and they could make it be more message-oriented.
So if I was to wrap it up real quick, a sign would be like a quickie, and the message would be like a longie, for lack
yeah,
of a better
term. Yeah, I would say so.
It's more in depth, absolutely.
Yeah, it's generated by the griever and or with the deceased, so that there's a deeper meaning driven behind it. And again, there are times, you know, that I don't expect a little sign from my mom. I didn't generate anything, and I'll get a little quick hello, and but it'll make me pause and go, "Now, wait a minute, I didn't ask for that."
No,
did I? Like, did I? You know, subconsciously
right.
ask for it.
Right. Well, for those people that are listening, that are metaphysically not challenged or just, you know, unaware. Let's say that butterfly comes, you know, this white butterfly comes flirting right in front of you. That butterfly, what I used to think is that, wow, it's the person's entity in that butterfly, but I don't think it is. It's more like the consciousness of the person in the discarnate person is manipulating the butterfly. Would that be a correct statement?
That's what I feel it is.
Okay.
And I would even go a step further to say, you know, let's face it, Roman, there are butterflies in the physical world, right?
Of course, yeah.
They're not all manipulated by spirit for a sign. So we have to look at that butterfly, and I mean, I think most people, at least I would think most people are touched by nature. If you're in a grieving state, you're going to want to feel something, right? You know, because usually grief puts you in a very dark, deep place. Everyone grieves differently. So you see that butterfly, and you weren't, let's say your loved one didn't have a connection to butterflies. You don't feel a connection to butterflies. And then you see this butterfly. You have to ask yourself, okay, is that my loved one manipulating that butterfly so that I'll pay attention? Like, is it a quick hello? And there's certain things that you can look for or even ask for to back that up.
Right.
Sometimes that's just nature saying, oh, there's a butterfly flying by. You know, so that it can be either. But getting more to the point of your question, it's very true that I don't feel the entity of my mother, for example, is in a butterfly. But can she manipulate nature to say hello? Absolutely.
Okay. And I think one of the most common forms of people getting signs would probably be through dreams, I guess, right?
Mm, absolutely.
And
I believe that.
And I think a large part of that is because your consciousness, while you're dreaming, leaves your body, and they kind of somehow meet in the middle somewhere. I wish I had more of those, but I can't remember most of my dreams. But I think when you have a visitation, you do remember it.
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of things wrapped up in the idea of it. Of a dream. I believe we have three kinds of dreams.
Okay.
I believe that we have physical life dreams. You know, I'm flying, I'm naked, my teeth are falling out. You know, all those really oddly weird dreams that the brain is basically decompressing and defragging your day or, you know, just working something out in your mind. So that's a physical life dream. Then we have spiritual dreams, and I believe spiritual dreams can come to you in a form of a sign. I believe that those dreams are very fluid. They're very vivid, and you tend to remember either snippets or the whole dream. Then you can have a combination dream, and when you get a sign like that, it's wrapped up with, okay, let's say I see my mom in my dream, and it's very vivid, but then it turns negative, and I believe that sometimes the grieving, you know, because grief can come very strongly, even interrupt your dream and kind of meld into the visit, and that's the way the brain is working out if it's negative and positive. Combination dream is how your brain is really working out through the grief.
Right.
So that the original moment of connecting was spiritual, but then your brain got in the way. So I do believe that, like a lot of people say, I wish I had a dream visit, but I believe that they don't visit us. I believe we visit them. I believe very strongly that when we go into a deep state of dreaming, we're kind of shutting off the brain. And I always say the brain is the enemy of connection, because if those thoughts and those feelings get in the way, it'll talk you out of anything.
Yeah, the ego is not your friend. The ego is
definitely not
your friend.
Absolutely. So I truly believe that we can visit them. We need to have the intention to do that before we go to bed at night, but we also have to learn to cleanse our mind a bit, or at least learn to balance or work with grief management so that we can kind of, because I don't believe we ever stop grieving. I believe we just manage it through the years. That's what I believe. So I think if we can learn to, like a medium does, take all of our issues, put them on the side for a little while, knowing that they'll be a visitor soon. I mean, grief is a visitor. It's not a definition of who you are. It is a visitor.
Yep.
And if we can learn to take it and put it aside a little bit, even if for a moment, or even before we go to bed at night, I do believe that we can get a sign in the experience of visiting our loved ones. I believe we can do that. It takes time and practice, but we can do it.
Okay, well, Angelina, very fascinating. We're going to go to a little break to give our sponsors some airtime. And great. When we get back, we're going to continue this fantastic discussion.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Yes, everybody, welcome back. And we were just on break with our sponsors, and our topic of discussion for tonight is signs from your loved ones. A very interesting topic, and we had Angelina explaining a few things, a few questions. And in the meantime, you know, we're talking about, you know, different signs that people receive, and we also have, many of us have experienced grief and have experienced signs. Mm-hmm. Personally, I've experienced, and I've had orbs appear in photographs, that kind of thing. And as a matter of fact, we have a caller. His name is Steve from San Francisco who wants to discuss orbs. So it's a perfect opportunity for him to do so. Let's welcome Steve to the program.
Hi.
Hello, hello. Steve. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, hi, I'm here.
Hi, welcome to Signs of Life. How you doing?
Okay.
Good, good. I understand you have something interesting to share about orbs or some questions about it.
Yeah, I had my wife who died last year, she gave me a gift that I don't know if anyone has ever had. I was sitting on the side of the bed at night with the lamp light on, and her orb came floating up from the floor toward the ceiling right by me, golden, about golf ball size. I don't know, I've done ghost photography, but I've never known of anyone actually to see an orb right in front of me. It's like Close Encounter of the First Kind or something like that. Has anyone else actually seen an orb floating right by them?
What do you think, Angelina?
Well, I think there's a couple of factors happening there. You said you were in your bedroom?
Yeah.
Were you half asleep?
I was sitting on the side of the bed, wide awake. Mm-hmm. I turned on the lamplight, and the orb came floating up to my right toward the ceiling very slowly, and I looked at the floor to see what she was doing, and and she had put a couple pieces of cardboard on top of each other. But she and I were very much into psychic things, and I've gone on psychic photography expeditions and all, but I don't know if anyone's actually seen an orb, a glistening golf ball-sized orb floating by them.
Well, here's my thought process on that. You said you turned the light on, right?
Yeah.
So you must have been in the dark for a little while, and maybe what time of day was it? Was it night? It had to be nighttime, right?
Yeah, 3 a.m.
So what? Yeah. So here's the reason why I asked you if you were sleeping or by your bed is what happens is imagine you've been sleeping for a while. You don't have to imagine you were, and something prompts you to get up, right? This feeling, this I just have to sit up and put the light on. Mm-hmm. When you're sleeping, your brain is pretty much in a different state, right? It's not as alert. It's not as focused on the physical. You say you were wide awake, but you might have still been.
Yeah, I was wide awake. I was going to go to the bathroom. I was wide awake. And she gave me this gift of actually seeing an orb. I couldn't believe it.
I don't know if anyone's ever seen an orb. What I'm trying to say is what has helped you see that orb, because they're always around us. I don't feel our loved ones visit us. I feel they're always around us. So you had what I call a moment of having spiritual eyes. That's what I call it, meaning I know you say you were wide awake, but there was still an essence of you being in slumber for a little while. So you were
I'm a scientist, so I know what I saw. She also had left a lot of little signs around, like coins and things. And once I was standing in the room.
I'm not disputing.
But this is real. I saw an actual orb.
I know. I'm not disputing what you saw. I'm trying to help you understand why you saw it. Because I do believe if everyone could be in that state of mind like you were, which was you were sleeping, you just woke up, you turn on the light, and as you turn that light on, yes, you're wide awake, but there's an essence. I wish there was a way they could have gotten your brain waves at that point, because you were having spiritual eyes at that moment. You were seeing her in orb form. You're right. That's her manipulating something physical for you to see, but the reason why you saw it in real time versus a photograph, which creates, when you have a photograph, you're creating an actual energetic poof of a moment, which can also stimulate the ability to see them in orb form. So I'm not disputing that you didn't see her. You did. The fact that you saw her in person was because 99% of the time when people say they've seen an orb, and I've had clients say that they've seen them, like you have, or they've seen their loved one sitting at the end of the bed, is because they've just woken up from a slumber and there is a moment of needing to adjust physically So your brain is still at a state of not being as connected to the physical world, and your spirit.
She would have waited. She would have waited until I was wide awake to make sure I got the gift from her of actually seeing an orb in person. To me, it's the greatest gift anybody in this field could get, is to actually see the orb of a dead loved one.
I'm so happy that you received that. Thank you so much. That's wonderful, and
well,
I'm so happy.
Thank you so much for your call, Steve. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, and what you did see was real. I mean, it happened to me too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do not doubt it. It was real, and embrace it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's very true. I do believe we can see our loved ones that way, and I do believe that we can actually start manipulating time when we want to see them. So I believe that we all have the ability to shift our consciousness or shut our mind off and see those things. I mean, I've been a medium since 2001, and one constant that I always get with either orbs or visitations in person is 90% of the time they've just rested from a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just waking up from bed, and then they see it. And I do believe, and I have pure respect for this gentleman who just called, that he did see his wife. And I do believe that if we can take moments to explore the idea of shutting our brain off, we will see more things like that. Same thing, too, with a photography orb, I believe.
Right.
That 99% of the time, they're always at a special event, a wedding, a birth date, a celebration. And I believe a lot of that has to do with the griever being in a state of mind where, yes, they're celebrating the event, but part of them is missing because they're thinking, where's my son? Where's my mom? Where? And it's not a thought. It's a spiritual missing. And I do believe when pictures are taken, the pictures are enhanced showing that loved one as an orb because the person who's grieving is somewhat not participating in that physical event because they're missing that person.
Right,
just like when you're dreaming. Just like when you're dreaming, you're not participating in the physical world. So it can help stimulate this ability. Do I believe our loved ones are physical orbs? No, but do I believe they can show up that way? It's almost like, to me, if you were to take I forgot what those kaleidoscopes. You remember kaleidoscopes? At least
yeah,
as a kid, I remember
them. Mm-hmm.
And you would take it and you would just shift, just twist the top, and all of a sudden the picture would shift and change. The light, the fraction of light would show like different sparkles of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe because we're going from, like, when we're dreaming or when we're at an event, we're missing our son or our mom, and we're kind of in the event, we're kind of missing them. We're getting that fraction of light of, oops, there they are. No, they're not. It's like we don't fully see their form, but it's like a little prism, a little look into their spiritual energy. So I don't believe it's the full form of who they are. That's why sometimes orbs can actually show a part of the loved one's face,
right.
part of their body.
What you just described, Angelina, is exactly what happened to me. I was at a family function. It was a christening, actually, 3 months after my son passed away. Wearing a sweater, and an orb showed up in a picture right on top of my heart on the sweater.
Wow, that's
I had
so
the
cool.
image. I had the image enhanced with what's called a dodge and burn. It's done in PowerPoint. It's not altering the image. It's just enhancing the shading of the picture of the pixels. And what popped out was my son's face on the orb.
Oh.
It was incredible.
Now, and was this at an event, a family?
It was a family event. It was a christening. It was a
very
close friend's christening in Yonkers.
Mm-hmm.
and
there's the evidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
It happened.
Oh, yeah. To me,
a family event. Yeah.
That was exactly as you described it. It's exactly what happened. Wasn't
so cool.
And the photographer that took the picture, it was just taken with a phone, and the photographer just right away noticed on the small screen, yeah, look, there's an orb. Just like
wow,
that.
Wow, that's so cool.
Had the photographer not said anything, I probably would have never, you know, even bothered to look, to tell you the truth, because it wasn't even my camera, you know. So just one of those things that just, you know, it was an orb and it wanted to present itself.
There you go.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, what do you say about, you know, I mean, there's many different kinds of signs that people receive. They, you know, we talked about orbs, we talked about dreams, we talked about pennies and butterflies. I know there's electrical manipulation, like anything with a current or a flow. I've seen those signs as well, and I'm sure many people have. What other signs do you think that there are?
I mean, well, I believe...
probably didn't cover everything.
Well, I do believe that there are different ways that our loved ones can reach us. And again, the messages and signs are different, but it doesn't mean that you can't have a moment or an internal connection with your loved one and then have a conversation and then they back it up with a sign or they back it up with a memory. Like two things that happen to folks when they're in grief, there are moments that, because one way that your loved ones can reach you is through clairvoyance. Clairvoyance, there's five ways, but one is clairvoyance where they put a picture in your head. Like, Roman, if I told you right now to picture a beach in your head, you could do that, right? Mm-hmm. So that place where you visualize or you daydream, it's a very personal place for everybody. We all have this internal life, right? So for example, I had an experience where I was very relaxed, and that's a good time to receive signs and messages. And my mom had placed this memory of her and myself when I was a young kid, and my mom was racing up Center Street in Windsor Locks, and it's a big hill, and she was all but 4'11", and I'm a little kid, and she's dragging me because she's taking a right onto Church Street to give a donation to the church down the street, and this is a memory I'm seeing, and I haven't thought about that in years, and I'm like, wow, why am I thinking of that? And when you start questioning memories, that's the time to go, wait a minute, I wasn't thinking about that. My mind was totally somewhere else. Is my loved one trying to give me a frame of reference, something that we shared before that they're going to show me later on to say a quick hello in the form of a sign? And my mother did just that. I mean, it's a long story, so I won't get into it. But what ended up happening was in the memory that she was showing me, I remember she stopped. She was going real fast, and she stopped on Center Street. She goes, Angelina, we can't run anymore. And I'm like, why not, Mom? She's going, there's an elderly gentleman in front of us. It's rude to run ahead an elderly gentleman. We're going to cross the street and then run to the church. So, and I kind of giggled. I'm like, oh, isn't that a nice memory? Thank you. That's from you, Mom. Thank you. And then I went, but there's no way she's going to show me that. Sure enough, Roman, I was at the bank, running to the bank, not even thinking of the same rush that I was in. As I go to take a right into the bank, a Cordoba, an old car, comes in front of me, and out of the passenger side is an elderly gentleman, and he's right in front of me.
Oh,
and I'm looking at him like, okay. And long story short, we ended up meeting again, and I didn't cross paths. And the biggest, I'm going to say, misstep that we make is we don't question it. So I'm in my mind, I'm going, okay, wait a minute, Mom. So this has to be you. It happened twice with this guy. I'm going to have to strike up a conversation with him. So I said, well, you know, thank you, sir. I'm opening the door for him. He goes, you can go by me. I'm like, no, it's okay. And then I noticed that he had a World War II hat on. And I went, oh, thank you for your service. When did you serve? And he said, oh, I was there when we liberated France or something like that on June 4th, 1944. Roman, that's the exact birth date of my mother, June 4th, 1944. So we have to kind of look at that. It's a very long message, but boy, was she saying hello to me that day, right?
Your eyes must have popped out of your head. Holy cow.
It really did. So, but what the mind would normally do is if I'm in the shower and I get a memory, I go, wishful thinking, boy, do I miss my mom. I don't take it a step further. So one form of a sign, to answer your question, is to pay attention to where our mind goes versus to what we're concentrating on, or where spirit is actually implanting memories, or I'd like to say depositing their connection? Where are they depositing their connection? Through seeing them in your mind, through an old song you might be hearing in the back of your ear, through a feeling or a sensation that mm-hmm. they're near you, through a smell, through a taste. So not only can they send signs, physical signs, in, they can send orbs, they can work with anything flowing like lights or water, they can deposit their energy within us. And if we are open to the love and the energy of, and I always say it's the second best thing because the first best thing would be that they're here, right? So the second best thing is we can say to ourselves, are you depositing your love and energy with me right now? Are you depositing that? Wow, I'm going to, because I love you and because I want to give grief a big old black eye, I'm going to go find out why you're doing that. You know, rather than giving up and saying it's wishful thinking, I know grief can do that. And that's why I think looking for signs, you also have to work with grief management and manage your grief, like cry one day or get it out of your system for a little while.
Right.
And then see if you're open to this, because when grief hits, it hits. And it's really a hard thing to manage. But depositing their energy within us, that's another way that they can send you signs.
Very, very cool. Now, is there a state that you can be in to be more receptive for these signs, like through relaxing, meditation, that kind of thing?
Absolutely. Well, of course, first we have to say, I always say mind noise is the enemy of connection. So mind noise is those little nasty, the ego and those little, like, what do they call those, worm noise, or there's a term for it, I can't think of it right now, but it's like it repeats itself over and over in your head, or you've got heavy work going on, or grief, or things like that, things that basically distract you from tuning into the fruits or the gifts of the spirit, which are love, patience, kindness, forgiveness, self-control, wisdom, courage. There's like 50 of them, where if we were to balance that out for even just a moment and put ourselves in a daydream state or in a meditative state. If we become classically trained and, you know, if the motivation is, I really want to understand why are you sending me a particular sign, or how I can get more signs, or how I can get more messages from you, I need to be, meaning the griever, I need to be away from my mind for a little while and meditating, classically training yourself, whether it be 5-10 minutes a day, generally at the same time of day is usually good to do in the beginning. Find what relaxes you most. Is taking a hot bath or a shower, or some people like watching tennis matches, believe it or not, the repetitive motion of the ball going back and forth, television, reading. Anything that puts you in that zone that tennis players talk about, you know, where you're just not present and you are just, you are in another state of mind. That is a wonderful way to start learning how to connect to either understanding, I want to have a conversation with you so that I can see more things from you, because let's face it, again, it's always the second best thing, but we want to find ways to make them physical again, right? You know, and even though we can't, we certainly can evoke and create conversation with them, then have them deposit that information within us, and then go look for it as a sign. I believe that that truly is the main job of a medium, is to teach your clients to do that.
Right. Now, in terms of receiving signs from your loved ones, is there an optimal time, like, let's say after the death? They say that, you know, right away, look for signs, because, you know, the person just died, they're close to you, they're going to be giving you tons of signs, and then as the years go by, the signs become far and few in between. Is there any truth to that?
I believe that when that happens, and it happens to the majority of folks, it means that they were, and there's nothing wrong with this. I don't want, when I say this, it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. I believe that when you're grieving, you're a victim. And when we are very connected to the physical world when we're still physical. So when we don't feel good, like when we have a headache, we take an aspirin. Really shouldn't, but we take an aspirin. We have cold. The majority of people take medicine. We don't like our body to feel bad. So when somebody has passed, our mind is always looking, and this, there's nothing wrong with this, but we want to placate our grief. We want to find something so that we can breathe for a moment, right? Mm-hmm. So when we get to the point, and I believe when years go by and we say things like, well, they're not contacting me anymore because I'm not getting signs, I don't believe that's true. I believe the griever has relied on certain signs for so long that they haven't developed the ability to be personal mediums, and that same sign that they were looking for doesn't do it for them anymore, doesn't give them that lift. So human nature, after a while, you learn to manage your grief, and you slip away from contacting them. Because it's okay. more work for us to contact them.
Right, okay.
You know, so I, so and
really,
again, I, if
it's
people
really more
have
on the griever. It's really more on the griever
it
than
is.
On the disease.
I have to say it is. Mm-hmm. And I want to say to you that if someone is listening and they've fallen into that, I don't want to say that you've done anything wrong. I just feel like after a while, and I don't want to be offensive, but it does become a crutch, and we don't learn that muscle of learning to connect to spirit like we can. It's just human nature.
Right.
You know, if somebody, if I had to go to work every day where I had to take four flights of stairs, right, and then all of a sudden they build an elevator, human nature is going to make me go towards the elevator because I don't want to do the work of walking up the four sets of stairs. That's human nature, right?
Yeah.
The brain is wired for comfort.
Right.
It's wired so that we are hopefully fed. We have a roof over our heads. We don't like being cold. If you fall into the traps of what we're supposed to eat these days, it's always the sugary bad stuff for you. But some people do it anyway. It's how our brain is wired, you know. So I do believe the way you put it is somewhat on the griever to understand that. We need to learn to give grief a big old black eye and understand that they're always with us, but we have a spiritual opportunity to learn their language. And I feel when we do learn that language and we recognize that because we are physical and spiritual, they are all spiritual now, we will be in between two worlds. We'll have moments where we're grieving and we have to recognize that we have to honor that grief, and that's where we might want to grab a sign here and there to breathe. But then we'll have moments where we're managing our grief and we could say, okay, now I'm going to send you some messages and I want to hear back from you.
Sure.
And it's a process. It's a process.
One of a friend of mine who you may or may not know, who also has been on the show, her name is Teresa Mohanna. She's a professor at Siena College. Written books and is definitely involved in the spiritual side of things with the Forever Family Foundation. She once told me some very wise words, and she said, grief is a connection to your loved one, but a very bad one.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poor connection. It's not the best connection that you can have. There are many better ways of connecting with your loved ones on the other side than through grief. Grief
it's
is the
true.
One, you know, that is created by the ego. It's the one that hurts, and it's the first one that we turn to because it's the first the shock and everything, and people think that's all there is, you know, and I really feel bad for these people, you know, but on the same thing, I think a lot of the science now and a lot of the therapists that are worth their weight are now turning really to the spirituality of things to heal grief because they recognize that it's so much more than, you know, just the physical and just the ego and just, you know, the seven stages of grief and all that kind of stuff. I think that's all very passe nowadays, and I think the prognosis is a lot better because I know because I've been through it.
I know, I don't want anyone to feel faulted if they have moments where they want to grab that quick penny or they want to, you know, and there's some people that penny, you know.
Right.
Some people, they have parents that collected pennies, and it's truly a connection to them. But, you know, every now and then there needs to be a moment where you hopefully can take a step back and breathe for yourself. That's hard to do during grief.
Absolutely.
Grief is a very overpowering thing. And
right.
If you can take a moment to say, look, I'm in two worlds right now. Right now I need to manage my grief. I need to honor it. And I need to take a moment to cry, kick in a wall. Everyone grieves differently, so you can't give like a general statement about grief. But
right.
You can take a moment to say, I'm learning to manage it through the years. Some people create anchors, which is a great thing. They might have a scholarship for their child, or they might have grandma's recipes, or what I do is what my mom did for her mom. Both my mom and grandmother passed at the same age, 59. And when my grandmother passed, my mother baked a cake on her birthday every year. So now my mother's on the other side. I bake a cake on her birthday. That's an anchor for me. That's something to connect me to her. And you can use anchors actually to create signs. So once you start learning to manage your grief and you create that, okay, here I am, mom, I'm cooking, I want to do a cake for you. You know this is coming from a good place. I'm doing it to honor you. It's going to make me feel closer to you. If you want to send me a sign to let me know what kind of a cake, that would be really cool, you know, and you can play with that energy, you know. And I remember it was 3 years ago I said that to my mom, and my sister Vicky calls up, and she doesn't know I do this. I do this for myself. I don't, you know, there are other things I do with my family. She called me, and she goes, you know what? She goes, Ange, I got this great recipe. For some reason, I got up this morning. I bought a vanilla cake. Do you want to come over? And I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, like, I just asked Mom that last night for her birthday on Sunday. Yeah, so I made her a vanilla cake. You know, so sometimes spirit finds a way.
Absolutely.
And that's you know, and that's what, you know, we can eventually, even though signs, and you're right, you know, doing it through grief is not the way to do it.
No.
But after you start managing your grief and you overcome that, not that you overcome grief, you overcome this idea of I'm managing it, then you have a whole playground. There's a playground, trust me, and for me it's easier to say, because my mom's been, 2004 she passed, and even though I miss her and I grieve heavy for her, I've learned to manage it because years have gone by.
Right.
You know, there's some grief, like children, for yourself, sir, that it's harder. A different kind of grief, or
it's totally different. Yeah. So listen, Angelina, we're going to take another short break to get a word in from our sponsors, but
sure.
We're going to keep right on this topic when we get back, okay?
That's great.
Okay, thanks.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death, and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the foreverfamilyfoundation.org grief and loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. We were having a very interesting discussion about signs from your loved ones and about the best way to receive those signs and the different kinds of signs. And Angelina, you were spot on with your definitions, and I think it's very, very helpful, especially for those of us in the audience that might not know too much about the subject, especially the newcomers. But I think, during our break, we were discussing how we were talking a little bit about time and how time is a physical invention of man to deal with our circumstances in the physical, but that, because time is so, in the conscious realm or the spiritual realm, time is something that is completely different, right?
Absolutely. There's really no concept of time on the other side.
Right.
It's nothing that they don't really, they're not like, okay, well, I think it's time for me to go for a jog right now. I have 15 minutes. They don't have that pressure. They don't live under that construct,
Right.
They might be stimulated because they see you're going for a run. And what they probably do in your mind is put some thoughts in there. They try to fight your mind is fighting, like, okay, I've got 15 minutes, I got to run. But they're probably saying, hey, look over to the left. There's a tree there. You might see something connected to me. Or, they're constantly, there's like a flow about their life with us. And I do believe they have the ability to be in more than one place than just with you. I believe they have this ability to understand through empathy. I call them the best psychics in the world because they know your thoughts, they know what you're thinking. They don't care about the bathroom things. It's the spiritual thoughts. How are you doing with your grief? What lessons are you learning after my passing? How can the lessons that I learned add to yours, or how can your life add to the lessons I didn't learn? So their empathetic flow through their living loved ones is quite astounding. The best psychics in the world, think of them that way. And so the concept of time to them, it's like they don't have to worry about it. They can be in more than one place than the other. So
fantastic.
It's really quite remarkable.
Yeah, it is quite remarkable. What would you say to, you know, to some people that are scared of spirit and scared of seeing signs?
I would say that the fear, when we fear something, number one, it's based on something that hasn't happened yet, right? Think about fear. It's a physiological response to something that the mind knows based on the past that's going to be triggered again. You know, the fight or flight kind of energy, right? So when we have fear, it's not even a relative to spirit,
right?
Because spirit
kind of
is not the brain has died with the physical body, so with that goes all the anger that person had, the jealousy, the inability to forgive, the competitiveness. Even though I believe you can show your body in full form on the other side, the physiological aspects of your body don't exist anymore. So they're not living in a fearful place. When we fear something, it's based on something that hasn't happened yet. So 99% of the time when somebody is fearing a sign, there's two things in play. They're either thinking of Hollywoodish things, I see dead people, Linda Blair in her head spinning out pea soup and all this stuff. Or they're fearing the fact that if I ask for this sign, I won't get it.
Okay.
And that's why, in closing, it's very important that you have a conversation with your loved one first. See, hear, feel, taste, or smell what they're going to send you, and then let them back that up in the physical world after you've had that message or conversation.
Okay. A wonderful ending to the show, Angelina. And again, if anybody wants to contact Angelina for reading, if you need her, as you can see, she's full of wonderful advice and a lot of knowledge. Her website again is www.angelinadiana.com. Okay, I strongly encourage that you visit that website. It's awesome.
So thank you so much,
Angelina.
Thank you, Roman. I appreciate the opportunity to be on. Thank you.
Absolutely. And good night, everybody.